It is at a time like this, with Rincewind and Kanina probably about to be the victims of a murderous attack, and Coin about to address the assembled and cowering wizards on the subject of treachery, and the disc about to fall under a magical dictatorship, that it is worth mentioning the subject of poetry and inspiration. For example, the Seraph, in his Bijou Wilderness Ed, has just riffled back through the pages of verse to revise the lines which begin, "Get up, for morning in the cup of day has dropped the spoon that scares the stars away." And he has sighed because the white-hot lines searing across his imagination never seem to come out exactly as he wants them. It is, in fact, impossible that they ever will. Sadly, this sort of thing happens all the time. It is a well-known and established fact throughout the many-dimensional worlds of the multiverse that most really great discoveries are owed to one brief moment of inspiration. There's a lot of spadework first, of course, but what clinches the whole thing is the sight of, say, a falling apple, or a boiling kettle, or the water slopping over the edge of the bath. Something goes click inside the observer's head, and then everything falls into place. The shape of DNA, it is popularly said, owes its discovery to the chance sight of a spiral staircase when the scientist's mind was just at the right receptive temperature. Had he used the lift, the whole science of genetics might have been a good deal different. Although possibly quicker, and only licensed to carry 14 people. This is thought of as somehow wonderful. It isn't. It is tragic. Little particles of inspiration sleet through the universe all the time, travelling through the densest matter in the same way that a neutrino passes through a candy floss haystack, and most of them miss. Even worse, most of the ones that hit the exact cerebral target hit the wrong one. For example, the weird dream about a lead donut on a mile-high gantry, which in the right mind would have been the catalyst for the invention of repressed gravitational electricity generation, a cheap and inexhaustible and totally non-polluting form of power which the world in question had been seeking for centuries, and for the lack of which it was plunged into a terrible and pointless war, was in fact had by a small and bewildered duck. By another stroke of bad luck, the sight of a herd of white horses galloping through a field of wild hyacinths would have led a struggling composer to write the famous Flying God Suite, bringing succour and balm to the souls of millions, had he not been at home in bed with shingles. The inspiration, therefore, fell to a nearby frog, who was not in much of a position to make a startling contribution to the field of tone poetry. Many civilizations have recognized this shocking waste and tried various methods to prevent it, most of them involving enjoyable but illegal attempts to tune the mind into the right wavelength by the use of exotic herbage or yeast products. It never works properly. And so Creosote, who had dreamt the inspiration for a rather fine poem about life and philosophy and how they both look much better through the bottom of a wine glass, was totally unable to do anything about it because he had as much poetic ability as a hyena. Why the gods allow this sort of thing to continue is a mystery. Actually, the flash of inspiration needed to explain it clearly and precisely has taken place, but the creature who received it, a small female blue tit, has never been able to make the position clear, even after some really strenuous coded message on the tops of milk bottles. By a strange coincidence, a philosopher who had been devoting some sleepless nights to the same mystery woke up that morning with a wonderful new idea for getting peanuts out of bird tables. Which brings us rather neatly onto the subject of magic. A long way out in the dark gulfs of interstellar space, one single inspiration particle is clipping along, unaware of its destiny, which is just as well, because its destiny is to strike, in a matter of hours, a tiny area of Rincewind's mind. It would be a tough destiny, even if Rincewind's creative node was a reasonable size. But the particle's karma had handed it the problem of hitting a moving target the size of a small raisin over the distance of several hundred light-years. Life can be very difficult for a little subatomic particle in a great big universe. If it pulls it off, however, Rincewind will have a serious philosophic idea. If it doesn't, a nearby brick will have an important insight which it will be totally unequipped to deal with. The Seraph's palace, known to legend as the Roxy, occupied most of the centre of Al-Khali that wasn't occupied by the wilderness. Most things connected with Creosote were famed in mythology, and the arched, domed, many-pillared palace was said to have more rooms than any man had been able to count. Rincewind didn't know which number he was in.
"It's magic, isn't it?"
said Abrim the vizier. He prodded Rincewind in the ribs.
"You're a wizard," he said.